This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the place where government actions come face to face with business decisions, online at www.bgov.com, and of course on the air right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Well, it's that time of year again. Cherry blossoms in D.C., they've come and gone, but the playoffs, hockey playoffs, are here, of course. First quarter lobbying numbers are in. There's a bonus. Bloomberg Industries' Melissa Avstray and, of course, BGov Data team member Dr. Peter Brusso will be here in a little while to discuss the revenue versus 2012 and more. But we're going to kick off the program with an item that comes to Bloom every year around this time. It's the BGov 200, the biggest federal contractors ranked by the largest federal buying agencies and purchasing categories. It's the second year of the publication, and two people who are integral in its creation this year join me now from Bloomberg Industries. It's analyst Brian Friel and design editor Paige Connor. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So let's talk winners and losers. And one of the cool things about this report is the amount of data you can pull from it, including those looking to possibly piggyback. I'm a consultant and I'm looking to maybe look for a teaming partner of sorts, great place, a reference guide for you to come to do that. Let's talk winners and losers, state-wise, not talking about companies yet. Brian, are we looking at the same landscape we saw last year? Where are some of the big ones headquartered versus last year?
Well, you know, we had a surprising, to me, a surprising amount of churn among the top 200. We had 37 new companies debut on the list this year. But remarkably, there wasn't a lot of movement in the geographic location. Virginia still dominates in terms of the headquarters locations of the top contractors. Mm-hmm. 29 of the top 200 are located in Virginia. Interesting to note, by the way, way ahead of Maryland and D.C. Maryland only had 7 headquarters locations of BGov 200 contractors, and D.C. had 2. Now, interesting enough, the top city, I thought it would be McLean,
right,
or Fairfax or
that
Reston.
Would be my guess.
The top city was London in the United Kingdom. The British companies, there are 10 British companies in the top 200, and it really signifies the close relationship that the American government has with the United Kingdom and the openness of our relationship in terms of companies being able to do business with the U.S.
Last year, top location, was that a Fairfax or a McLean, or was London even in the top 10 last year?
London was up there last year, but even more so this year. McLean and the Northern Virginia area, also huge.
Right.
But what we're really seeing is the effect of the openness of the World Trade Agreements,
right,
procurement rules, not only UK, but also France, Netherlands, Germany, Luxembourg are among the other countries with top locations of BGov 200 companies.
Never would have thought. So last year, you kind of noted the federal contract spending declined more from fiscal 2009 through 2011 than in any other two-year period since 1991. Are we still on that downward trend?
We're still declining. So the fiscal year 2012 total was $516 billion. And year over year, that was the biggest drop in inflation-adjusted dollars since 1997. So we definitely are continuing to see a decline in the market. And what that means for companies is that they really need to capture the share of other companies in order to grow. And that's one of the reasons this BGov 200 report is especially useful, because it gives companies an ability to do some competitive analysis of where their fellow companies are doing business and where they might have opportunities to grow.
You're listening to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's the BGov 200. And my guests right now are Paige Connor, design editor, and Brian Friel from Bloomberg Industries, the analyst who helped put all this information together. I want to note that another analyst from BGov helped you. His name is Evan Crone. Couldn't be here at this time, but Evan was also integral in putting this together. Let's dive into it, the top 200. Now, we mentioned, it was kind of funny, we were talking off air just a moment ago, and I'm like, well, let's go through the top 10 if you want to. And you're like, top 10 is pretty boring. Let's take a look at some of the others.
The top defense primary prime contractors really dominate the list, and there doesn't tend to be a lot of movement. You know, Lockheed Martin has the Joint Strike Fighter program. Boeing, General Dynamics, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, they are all very solid, stable companies with programs that are funded year after year.
Right.
And so there tends not to be a lot of movement there. But lower in the ranks, we're seeing a lot of churn. And in fact, the company debuted on the list this year at number 42, and it's a company that didn't even exist a year ago.
I was going to say, my gosh, coming in at 42, that's pretty good. I feel like I'm Casey Kasem all of a sudden.
That's right.
Debuting. At number 42 is
that's right. It's Engility Holdings, which is a spinoff of L3, which is the number 9 contractor this year. And Engility is a pure government services provider. Mm-hmm. Almost all of its businesses is with the federal government, and it highlights a trend that I think we're going to see play out in the BGov 200 for several years to come, which is divestitures of companies splitting off and becoming more targeted in the work that they do. So L3 now is much more focused on products and equipment maintenance work,
right.
And Engility is doing more of that sort of that office support, professional engineering support. We're going to see that happen next year with SAIC, which is the number 7 contractor this year. It's splitting into two companies, and once that occurs, we'll see both of those companies in the BGov 200 rankings.
Built-in opportunities for teaming partners. This is incredible. One company takes one half, the other company takes the other half. I turn to Paige Connor, who is sitting here with a gleam in her eye, saying, "Please don't ask me any questions." But design. Wise, as you had the opportunity now to work on both BGov 200s, let's talk about the layout, the content that we'll find in there as we take a look. We talk about Engility and any other company that's in the book. What are we going to find company-wise?
You're able to see this year how the ranks changed, and that was something that we were able to add in through having a more streamlined process this year as we went through it. So, and we also, one of the things that we didn't get to do last year, we only looked at certain agencies. This year, aside from just looking, we call out certain agencies in the front of the book. I believe 26 of them, 5 of them being defense agencies or defense all together. But in the individual company profiles, you're actually able to look and see every agency that somebody is in, or honestly, as many as I could get onto the page, because there's only so much room. And from there, you get a bigger scope of what a company's work actually is. So you can see more where their money is going. And that was one of the things that after last year we really wanted to do. This year we're also able to add in a lot more visual graphics to the publication, which for me was always interesting because you do see a lot more trends of what's going on. You see the agencies that are going up and down a little bit more. You see which different categories are going, who's increasing, who's decreasing, and you get to see a lot of trends, which for a company that's looking at their profile, they get to start seeing that competitive market analysis. And so it's basically this to create this reference, this starting point mm-hmm. for the companies to look to see where they're going, where they have been, and where the new opportunities are for them each year.
Brian, was it as difficult to put this one together as it was the very first? Because you didn't, I'm guessing you didn't have a reference point initially. Now you've got that reference point and can see the change. And I guess a follow-up to that would be, were you surprised with anything you found?
Well, this year was a lot easier because we had done a lot of the groundwork. And one thing that makes the BGov 200 stand out from a list you might be able to generate looking at the government data yourself is that Bloomberg has the most extensive corporate structure information of any company in the world. So we can tell you what is the parent company of all the subsidiaries doing work with the government. For example, if you look in the government data, it lists Bearing Point as a contractor with about $100 million in work. But Bearing Point was actually bought by Deloitte several years ago. So we roll up that that work into Deloitte. So it gives that a level of transparency that's not available anywhere else. And one of the surprises to me was the shift in work from away from land vehicles, which was a fairly big category, especially at the height of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That work has really sort of fallen off, and we saw AM General, which was the number 61 contractor last year, fall out of the rankings entirely. that decline in work related to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan has really been the main driver of changes in the data this year. So, for example, Oshkosh, a major maker of ground vehicles for the Army, declining.
And kids' clothing, by the way.
And KBR, which was the big logistics contractor in Iraq, fell the most of any company, 95 spots in this year's rankings.
Wow. I bet they're not going to be happy to hear that. But of course, they already know this, I'm sure. Looking at their own books, I'm sure they've figured that out.
One thing that I think we're really seeing in this data is that some companies are probably going to have to shift dramatically out of the federal market because of the decline in the overall contracts. So a KBR does a lot of obviously work in the private sector and overseas, and that's obviously the federal market is going to become less important for a company like that. Whereas you also see a company like Engility, which is a pure play government company, and they're going to be, they can use this kind of data to really target markets that other companies may start exiting because of the greater opportunities outside of the federal government.
Well, let's talk about this, because some of the decline in the opportunities has to do with the sequester. How much do you think this will impact the landscape moving forward as we put together the BGov 200 next year?
Yeah, we're going to start seeing the impact of the sequestration in the numbers for fiscal 2013, which will be the basis of next year's rankings, and in particular the numbers in fiscal 2014. You know, at this point there doesn't appear to be any grand bargain that would eliminate the sequestration numbers. So we're looking at a decline every year through 2021 of $110 billion from what the government planned to spend at the agencies. And our estimate is that comes out to about $40 to $50 billion in reduced contract spending each year.
Pocket
and
change.
So we're definitely going to be seeing that play out in future years.
Right. So top 10 probably not impacted much, but taking a look down, we're going to see some others jumping in and leaving, I would imagine, the top 20.
There's going to be very heavy competition in the lower ranks.
Looking for teaming partners, the place to go is the BGov 200 page. What was your favorite part of this entire thing? I would see you slaving over a hot Mac, back at your desk, graphics extraordinaire. What are you most proud of in this book?
I think for myself, it was just the work that being able to work with Brian and Evan and also pull in different areas from the entire Bloomberg, especially BGov teams. But I think just to see it all come together, to find the interesting facts, to be able to create a product that serves our clients very, very well. It's a reference piece that they can use just as a starting point for the market analysis. If you want to dive in deeper, you want to know which agency, how the drone market is doing within Homeland Security, you can start with the BGov 200 book, move forward into using the contract intelligence tool on the website, and really dive in deeper to that data that Brian alluded to that we have access to that nobody else does. And so to put a product out there for our clients that's useful for our clients, that's useful for our readers, is a thing that I'm probably most proud of it, that it's something that everybody wants to come back to us to year in and year out, and they constantly want this data.
BGov.com is the place where you'll find the BGov 200. It's a pinnacle of a lot of work done by a lot of people, and I want to thank you, Brian, for pouring your heart and soul into it. Thank Evan, who isn't here, Paige, of course, all of your hard work, and everybody else across all the verticals that helped put this together. It's a proud moment. Look at that. I'm putting my chest out. A proud moment for BGov. Brian and Paige, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Alan.
Yes, thank you.
This is Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact.
First quarter lobbying results are in.
And the crowds go wild.
Exactly. And that's Dr. Peter Brusso you just heard there. And joining me for a return trip is Bloomberg Industries, Melissa Avstray. How are you?
Good, Alan. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you as well. And you guys are following the lobbying numbers and first quarter information like nobody's business. Bloomberg data weasels, as I like to call you both. Peter likes that, by the way. What are we seeing in those first quarter numbers, Melissa?
Well, it's a mixed bag. So Bloomberg took a look at the first quarter filings, which cover lobbying spending from January through March. We saw a slight uptick in new client registrations compared to the same time as last year. So we know that folks are still continuing to hire lobbyists. The question is, how much are they paying?
Okay.
So On the flip side, revenue actually appears to be down, particularly for some of the traditional big players. So for some of the large firms, revenue fell in the first quarter of this year compared to the last quarter of last year. Then Peter and I thought, well, lobbying tends to be cyclical, so let's take a look at the first quarter of 2012 and compare it to the first quarter of 2013. And again, for some of the big K Street players, revenue is down. And there was one firm in particular, Cassidy & Associates, we saw a significant decrease in their revenue. And we thought, well, let's investigate this one further. Let's take a look at this. And they actually reported one of their larger paying clients, Boston University, has a 200,000 drop in revenue from the end of last year to the beginning of this year. And all so right. that, you know, if one client, if, you know, one of your bigger payer ones isn't paying as much as they used to, you know, obviously that can really affect your, you know, overall revenue.
Okay, Melissa, I'm a little concerned. You've returned. You're here bringing me lobbying information. Mm-hmm. You've just said that lobbyists are being hired, but we don't know how much they're getting paid, which could mean they're working for free or getting paid pennies on the dollar. The companies are losing money left and right, and looking at last year's numbers, we're down even more. Is there anything good to say? Are you continually going to be the harvester of sorrow?
Well, depending on what your political persuasion is, the National Rifle Association has increased their lobbying spend. It's not totally surprising given, you know, what's been going on in Congress this year. They've increased their spend about 20% over this time last year. And they've actually hired two new firms. So they are arming up, so to speak. Bad pun.
Good one.
And then we saw some of the internet media companies, Facebook, Microsoft, for example, they've significantly increased their spending. Facebook spent almost four times as much in the first quarter this year as they did last year. Microsoft about twice as much. And I think Peter's going to touch on this a little further about some of the congressional angles to this, but immigration, cybersecurity, hot topics on the Hill. You know, hugely important to companies like Facebook, Microsoft.
I would imagine Visa is important to them as
exactly,
well.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about the White House? What's going on there?
So February and March were quite busy over at folks lobbying OIRA. And OIRA, for those of you who don't know, is kind of the arm of the White House that oversees federal regulations. And the EPA has kind of had a revolving door with stakeholders on fuel standards and water discharge rules. And some of those same stakeholders, oil companies, environmental groups, have also been beating down the door of the Department of Interior because they are close to finalizing some federal regulations on hydraulic fracturing. So we're seeing a lot of traction from both EPA and Interior.
All right, so I won't call you the harvester of sorrow entirely. Okay, you did bring us some good
news.
Peter, on the other hand, Dr. Peter Brusso is here. Peter, when you were last here, a couple of times ago, at the beginning of the year, I guess it was, you made some predictions.
Sure.
You said taxes, SOPA, immigration, and I believe visas was on the list as well.
Right. Visas with immigration.
Right. Visas with immigration, not the credit cards. How did you do?
Well, much better. I mean, the last time I was on, I gave you some NCAA basketball predictions, and
that's
Albany,
right.
Albany
that's
did not right. get the national championship. So my lobbying predictions were much, much more spot on. And we're seeing huge traction right now with taxes. The Indiana Children's Museum have now registered lobbyists because they're concerned about the deductibility of charitable contributions. There's now a coalition for historic preservation tax credits. This is if you own an older home that's preserved underneath the National Registry, mm-hmm. you're able to write off certain preservation costs. And there's, you know, in the scheme of trying...
You're not allowed to put air conditioning in, but you can write off the fact that you didn't do it.
Or if you have to use lead abatement.
Understood.
So if you have lead, you know, that's not a cheap operation.
Understood.
And as Congress is looking to try to balance a budget and try to raise revenue... It's a very small group of people that wind up getting benefiting from these benefits. So you can wind up raising a little bit of money that way.
You're listening to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests right now are from Bloomberg Industries, Melissa Avstray, and of course, from BGov's data team, Dr. Peter Brusso. And we're talking about lobbying and just a plethora of stuff where people are spending money to try to get a benefit in some way. In this case, we just finished talking about some taxes and some tax incentives and this and that and the other. Let's talk a little bit about SOPA and immigration. What's going on there?
Sure. So one of the biggest things we're seeing is a renewed debate about immigration. The president has made it clear that one of his priorities for his second term is passing some form of comprehensive immigration reform. And we're seeing some progress from various senators, Marco Rubio, John McCain towards passing some form of immigration reform. One of the big issues for a lot of our technology companies, your Googles, your Facebooks, your Microsofts, is the need for J-1 visas.
Right.
The ability to bring highly skilled talent from outside of this country and bring them here to the States to be able to go through and work that. And we're seeing a lot of pressure sort of past that now. We're seeing a lot of lobbying money being able to go spend and try to make sure that this happens. We're also seeing renewed interest in the stopping online privacy. There is definitely a renewed interest in sort of pushing through some form of restrictions on what can be shared over the internet, particularly by the Motion Picture Association of America versus your Googles and versus your Facebook, which winds up sharing a lot of
sure.
proprietary information,
taking their intellectual property and spreading it like a wildfire, and the Motion Picture Association gets no benefit from that. I can fully understand.
Right, and yeah. You know, you need to preserve those salaries.
Sure. Anything going on right now that surprises you, shocks you? Money being spent somewhere in some bucket that. So what's this for?
Well, so getting back, I mean, when I made my predictions for what we'd see in 2013,
right.
Taxes, visas, and immigration were the big three issues. John Kingdon from the University of Michigan also talked about focusing events, and at Bloomberg Government we've been doing a lot of interesting looks at things that have happened that we didn't really expect. And you know, unfortunately, the tragedy in Connecticut has really brought a new focus on gun control and gun control issues. And we are seeing that there's a new niche industry where people are just lobbying on gun issues. And Melissa had mentioned the NRA has increased their spending. The NRA is actually kind of like a small dog in the grand lobbying scheme things. The National Association of Gun Rights spent $1.9 million lobbying on gun rights in the first Just in the first quarter, $1.9 million. In contrast, the NRA only spent $700,000. So it's spent almost three times as much as the NRA did lobbying on this gun issue.
All perception.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, and the NRA, what makes them powerful is that they have a huge mailing list.
Right.
And they can actually contact individuals and say, your senator is proposing to do this on the Second Amendment. You need to talk to them.
Not only that, they've got heavy hitters on that mailing list. So they're going to be more vocal than the group that may not have them on their list, so to speak.
Right. And what's also shocking is the way that, pardon the pun, the pro-gun groups actually outgun the gun control advocates. One of the groups that has been most vocal about gun control is the Brady campaign for gun control. Brady, of course, was the assistant to President Reagan who was shot in the attempt to assassinate him in the 80s. And they've been advocating for gun control. Very, very prominent group that does a lot of good work on this issue. Only spent about $20,000. $20,000 doesn't go very far in this town.
No. That's walking around money in this town.
Yeah. And the mayor's against illegal guns, which, you know, in full disclosure, is founded and developed by Bloomberg LP's principal owner, Mike Bloomberg, only spent about $230,000. And in this town, you need to be able to have parity, at least with lobbying dollars, be able to go through and make a significant impact on Capitol Hill. One of the things we're also seeing is a huge increase in the spending of super PAC dollars trying to advocate for this issue. Super PAC dollars only go so far. You really do need the direct one-on-one contact with members of the Congress
right.
saying, this is why you should pass this bill. Here's the impact to your industry. And I suspect what we're going to see is that gun control remains status quo. It's been a very expensive bill for the pro-gun people to keep it status quo,
sure.
but they are winning this issue.
All right. Well, only time will tell what happens. His name is Dr. Peter Brusso. Her name, Melissa Avstray from Bloomberg Industries. Thank you both for being a part of the program.
You're welcome.
Alan, thanks for having me. We look forward to talking with you at second quarter.
And with that, we put the pin in another edition of Capital Impact. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BGov. And while you're at it, you can follow me at Alan L. Scott. Also, like us on Facebook, as we throw a lot of content out there you won't find anywhere else. Did you know the BGov has a TV show? We'll be back next Thursday at 11 with plenty more to say about the business impact of government actions. For BGov's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, I'm Alan Scott.